Melanoma is the most serious form of skin cancer, and if it's recognized and treated early, it's nearly 100% curable. If it's not recognized and treated early, it will likely spread to other parts of the body where it becomes hard to treat and can be fatal. We're going to be talking about melanoma and about sun-related skin problems now with Dr. Perry Robbins. Dr. Robbins is founder of the Skin Cancer Foundation and professor of dermatology and chief of the Mohs Micrographic Surgery Unit at New York University Medical Center. Pleased to have him with us today by phone. And certainly, if you have some questions as we move along, you're most welcome to join in at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, it's 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Dr. Robbins with us by phone. Thank you for taking time to be with us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about seniors. What are the common sun-related skin problems for seniors?
Well, the most common related skin problems, and talking about in the skin cancer range, is actinic keratosis. Now, you start developing these when you're a child, and the effects of the sun are cumulative. So when you get on in years, you know, you're going to develop a lot of these rough spots and crusted, and they may even bleed. But before they get to that point, they can, you know, accumulate on your forehead, all sun-exposed parts of the body. And we're very fortunate because we have a lot of good methods to eradicate them. They can be frozen with a product called liquid nitrogen, and they can be curetted. And there's a wonderful new product on the market called Carac. It's a 5-fluorouracil product. And the nice thing I like about it, it works while you sleep. So you put it on every night for 2 weeks, and it gets rid of them. Now, what happens if you don't get rid of them? About 20% of these can develop into squamous cell carcinomas, which is a serious condition.
Yeah, very, very serious. That can lead to death, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a lot of recommendations. You mentioned I'm president of the Skin Cancer Foundation, and we put out a lot of literature, which they can find on our website, is www.skincancer.org.
.org, okay. What are, who among us are the people most likely to be diagnosed with melanoma?
Okay, usually people with a family history, that's the first thing. And second are people who have a lot of moles. And these moles are, to me, like a tinderbox. You never know when they're going to change. They stay as moles, and then one day they can change. So if you have a history of melanoma, and if you have, your family does, and you have a lot of these moles, I strongly recommend that you see a dermatologist at least once a year, and if there's really a lot, at least twice a year. Because, as you mentioned in your opening remark, if detected early, they're almost always curable. So it's important to be checked. And also, you asked about senior citizens. Hey, what's wrong with examining your birthday suit on your birthday at least once a year? You need two mirrors. And anything that increases in size, changes color, or bleeds, and doesn't go away after a month or so, then best to see a dermatologist.
Okay. Is it... okay to see a regular physician, or is it better to
absolutely see a physician? But the nice thing, I've been asked that question many times, if you're fortunate and have one in your insurance plan or close by, the dermatologist is best equipped to recognize it at its very earliest.
Yeah, that's the overriding issue there.
Yes.
1-800-642-1234, the number to call if you would like to join in. Is there a difference between men and women in terms of cancers?
Absolutely, because in a way it's occupational hazard. Men work outdoors. You know, it's from the day you're born to the day you die, the sun is cumulative. So what it's like a glass slowly fills up with water, and when it gets to the top, it breaks down. And as a result, the more you're out in the sun more often and get burned more often, the quicker you're going to run into these problems.
Yeah.
So I have my Ten Commandments for safe sun, and I can run down them quickly if you like.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, when you go outside, look for shade. Stay in the shade. You're still going to get sun exposure because the short rays bounce off water, aluminum, smooth surfaces, so even under umbrella, but try the shade. Second, don't go out in the midday sun. That's for mad dogs and Englishmen. And early morning or late afternoon. Third, apply your sunscreen a half hour before you go out. Let it penetrate into the skin. Use an SPF of 30 or better. Next, make sure you reapply it every few hours. I know it says it lasts a whole day, but you perspire, you swim, you wipe the sand off, wipe yourself. So reapply it every few hours. If you wear protective clothing, a hat that covers the ears, you know, these baseball caps don't help the ears at all. So you want a wide brim hat. You want sunglasses. You want, you know, long-sleeve shirts. And people say, well, how can I go on the beach with a long-sleeve shirt? We'll find a cool one that's loose. It works. And second, next is if you see something that's suspicious, you know, see your physician, preferably a dermatologist. Have your checkup at least once a year. And I think if you follow these rules, you'll help protect yourself.
Let's take some calls. Bill in Wausau is online, so let's go to Bill. Hi, Bill. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the doc. I seem to have gotten a skin condition from a severe illness when I was about 5. This has left me with a lot of troubles, and now the last 30 years or so, I get some very large black hairs amongst my whiskers in different places. Now, is that a sign of a cancerous condition?
I'm sorry to disappoint you. It's not. No, it's not.
Humongous, the hair.
Yeah, humongous. Oh, what would cause something like that, Dr. Robbins?
Well, it's really not clear what his condition was initially. And luckily, he has hair. Most people call me and they say, Doc, I don't have hair. What can I do to grow it? So I would just, again, see the local doctor, and I don't suspect anything because, you know, we have an old cliche, which is not 100% true, is that if you have hair growing out of a mole, it rarely becomes malignant.
Oh, it rarely does?
Rarely does. But there have been cases where it does, so anyway, they should be checked. It's a golden, you know, a rule that saying if it comes out, it's not bad, but take no chances.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Cindy in West Allis, it's your turn. Hi, Cindy.
Good morning, Larry.
Morning.
I have sort of a contradictory comment to make for the doctor. I have moderate psoriasis, and my dermatologist has indicated, yeah, sun is very good for clearing up psoriasis, particularly during the summer. And it does, and I do. And I wonder if he could comment on something like that.
Sure.
Oh, boy, I hear this all the time. Is the name Mary? I've operated on 47,000 patients, and a lot of them have psoriasis. And it's an oxymoron. Yes, sun is bad, but it's good for psoriasis. Well, how can it be bad if it's good for psoriasis? Yes, it's something that it's a double-edged sword. You really have to be careful. There is no question. Now, there have new products, thank God, that's come out with for psoriasis, and I would see your doctor, and these injections, although a bit pricey, helps improve it. So you might be able to eliminate that sun exposure with these new products. There's hope for you.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. And let's go to Rose in Two Rivers. Rose, hi to you.
Hello. My question is, what is the most efficient way to remove a plantar wart?
Well, they have some products on the market, but they're salicylic acid, and usually it's 50%, but you can only get that by a dermatologist or a podiatrist. And I can tell you, they have things that go around the plantar wart to make the stepping less painful, But the old method still works, and that's just paring them down. And sometimes, if the condition is severe, they'll recommend an orthopedic shoe in which it's built so the pressure is more evenly distributed so you don't encounter the development or building of these plantar warts. But I pity for you because they are painful. I know that.
Now, thank you very much for calling, and good luck to you. Yesterday on the program, we had a guest talking about some of the problems associated, potential problems associated with nanotechnology, nanoparticles being used in a variety of things, including sunscreen products. And I wonder if you've worked anything on that. I think it was in, especially in the zinc oxide. It makes the product clear, but people are concerned about these, some people anyway, are concerned about these nanoparticles being in contact with the skin.
You're absolutely right. There's been a bit of discussion about it, and so far they have not been found to be toxic, and therefore it's on an individual basis, there's concern, but so far they have not have any deleterious effect on use in sunscreens. But again, as I said, maybe the jury is not out. We still need a little more time to evaluate it.
Yeah, okay. We'll take some more calls at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. Let's go to Larry in Milwaukee. Larry, hello to you.
Hello. I have a question for the doctor. It's regarding the probability of skin cancer for black people. Most of what I hear about the likelihoods and race is never mentioned. I'm in the sun a lot. I go out fishing, have a lot of exposure to the sun, never get burned. Was wondering, should I be
concerned?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it's very interesting. We now refer to people of color, and because you have so much color pigment in your skin, it's a great advantage. It reduces the potential of getting burned. However, I have seen people of color get burned, and usually they don't like to go out in the sun because it makes their skin even darker. In my practice, where I mentioned I've operated on 47,000 patients with skin cancer, there's only about 3 or 4 that were black, and they had theirs from firecracker burns, scalding water, or from a vaccine. And as far as from overexposure to the sun, I've seen only one in a large number of patients.
Wow,
yes, you have an advantage.
Thank you very much for calling, Larry. Appreciate your call. Dr. Perry Robbins, our guest today, as we talk about sun-related skin problems here on the Ideas Network. Talking about sun-related skin problems now with our guest. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller. Dr. Perry Robbins, my guest, founder of the Skin Cancer Foundation, professor of dermatology, and chief of the Mohs Micrographic Surgery Unit at New York University Medical Center. Pleased to have him along. Give us a call if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And lots of callers online, so let's go to the phones and to Joe in Monona. Joe, hello.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'd like to ask him about rosacea.
Rosacea, okay.
Yes, which I have, and I was told that it was due to drinking liquor or hot food, which I do eat a lot of hot food, and I do have a drink once in a great while.
But you're not a heavy drinker.
Oh, no.
All right.
No.
Well, this is a condition which usually burns itself out at a period of time. And what it is, it's caused by the oils of the skin that reacts to it and causes that red discoloration that you get. There's a number of products available. One of them is Noritate, which works beautifully when applied once or twice during the day. But it's interesting. I had a friend who had rosacea, and he felt it was every time he worked hard. Was from working hard, so we took vacations and went out in the sun and put some cream on. a little hydrocortisone cream and said, see, it works. It's gone away. Every time I go on vacation, it cures. So I guess you just have to go on more vacations.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for calling. Appreciate the call. Carol in Bailey's Harbor, it's your turn. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have something to say to the lady that had the planter's wart. Several years ago, I had a really bad one that just kept getting worse and worse, any little thing I tried from the drugstore. And then I bought Dr. Scholl's wart remover, and I dabbed that on, like the directions said, and within 3 weeks it was gone, and it's never come back.
Well, that's good to hear. Dr. Robbins, have you had similar successes with materials like that?
No, I had a better success. It was a cousin of mine. And unfortunately, he's not listening. He's in Las Vegas. And he did rub the potato and on the wart that went out and buried it, and the wart went away. So maybe, you know. But there's a lot of a little psychological effect with them. But I'm sure Dr. Scholl's, if they got approval to market it, it can work. And definitely it's worth trying. If it's large, like the woman says, I don't think it would be as effective. But, you know, it's worthwhile trying.
It's sure worthwhile to try, and not all that expensive.
And I don't have stock in the product.
Okay. Thanks, Carol. Peter and Marinette, your turn. Hi, Peter.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
And I'm always a little nervous when I give you all a call. But, yeah, my brother and my father's brother both passed away from melanoma, and unfortunately they didn't catch it in time. You know, prostate, my father and his father died of prostate cancer. So the males in my family run pretty high. Now, my brother had red hair and fair skin, and he was out in the sun a lot. The other thing, too, is about a mole. I always was told that if you take a mole and it, slice it any way you want with an imaginary line, and if it's equal on both sides, you really have nothing to worry about.
Is that true?
Well, the Skin Cancer Foundation puts out the A, B, C, and Ds. We created that, and now it's been distributed by other organizations. A is for asymmetry. That's what he's saying. If you cut it down the middle, it's symmetrical. It's not a sign. B is borders. If it's a serpiginous border, you know, a sculptured border, that's also, if it doesn't have that, it's not a sign. C, the color. Usually we say almost tricolor, dark brown, black, dark blue. If it has two of these three colors, you should be suspicious. And D, A, B, C, D is diameter. And the diameter, if it's larger than the head of an eraser on a pencil, it could be suspicious. And you can get information, www.skincancer.org. They have the brochures. They'll be glad to mail them to you.
Thanks a lot for calling, Peter. Appreciate it. John in Key in Madison, your turn. Hi, John.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to Dr. Robbins. I'm 72, and in the last few years, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this correctly. I have cerebral keratosis, or it starts with an S, what the first word. I don't know exactly what it is. But it seems to be spreading a lot, and I've seen several dermatologists, and they don't seem to be concerned. They say, well, this isn't the kind that leads to cancer. But I wonder if he could repeat the spelling of that preparation that you could spread on. And
okay.
Sure.
Super. Let me explain something. What you have, and trying to pronounce, is called seborrheic keratosis. S-E-B-O-R-R-H-O-I-C, seborrheic keratosis, K-E-R-A-T-O-S-I-S. They're barnacles. There's fats, wax, cholesterol, old age spots in a way. And they're absolutely innocuous. You can have them. Some families, hereditary, have a lot more, and some have very few. And since they are not any disease, disorder, or leading to anything, the insurance companies do not reimburse the physician to remove them. So as a result, they're not silly. They say, leave it alone. Doesn't bother you? Leave it alone, because you say, well, I have insurance, but the insurance doesn't cover it, so they don't do it. The ones I was talking about, and for new listeners, they looked similar. They don't have as waxy appearance, and you can't peel them off with your fingernail, or actinic keratoses, or sometimes called solar keratoses. And the dermatologist or the physician will freeze them, or if you have lots of them, they'll use a product called Carac, C-A-R-A-C. And that's the one made of 5-fluorouracil, and you put it on at night, and it works while you sleep. But that you have to get a prescription from your physician.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, John, for calling. Mary in Eau Claire, hello to you.
Hi, thank you. This isn't probably skin cancer related, but in the last week or so, I've had this itching problem where it's what I would imagine would feel like fleas. It's just like this little prickly thing and wants to make me itch it. And mm-hmm. It can be in my head or on my arm or my back. It just kind of appears all over and just makes me kind of crawl. And I'm wondering what in the world that might be all of a sudden.
Sounds like you have the 7-year itch.
Yeah.
But, it's too soon. You got a year or two to go.
Yeah,
now,
right.
I would say that in my practice, about 70 to 80% of itching is due to dry skin.
Hmm.
And what happens, people in the summertime, they perspire, so they shower not once, not twice, or three times a day, and they wash all the oils off the skin, and leaving the skin taut and dry.
Well, I take a shower only about every other day, and I always put lotion on.
Okay.
Every day I put lotion all over my body,
mm-hmm.
so it's quite moist. And
well, again, as I said, there are some internal conditions that causes itching, and I would suggest see a dermatologist or your physician.
Okay.
Because if it's not, you're saying you're lubricating your skin and it's not helping, then have to find out what's causing it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling, Mary. Sean in Fond du Lac, you are next. Hi, Sean.
Hi. I have acne, and I use benzoyl peroxide 10%. And I paint outside, and there's a warning on the label that says not to have a large exposure of the sun. And I was wondering what sort of effect that's having on my skin.
Well, benzoyl peroxide, I like Benzoclin, which is clindamycin and benzoyl peroxide, which is really a great product. It's a new second generation from benzoyl peroxide. And that's really great. And you know what? To alleviate that problem, put it on at night when you go to sleep, and a very thin coat on in the morning. And I don't think you'll run into any difficulties.
All right.
But try mostly at night, and then just a very thin coat in the morning. But I think that will keep you pretty well protected.
Is there any sort of side effect, though, from being in the sun? Because there is
you know,
a warning.
It's, you know, the same thing is you work in the sun, I would put your sunscreen right over it. To see if it gives some protection.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Thanks for calling. Yvonne in Spring Green, it's your turn next. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. I have a question for the doctor, please. When my daughter, who is now 38, was 14, she had a malignant melanoma third stage on a toe, of all things. She was not a sunbather. And so she had the toe amputated, and it was successful. She has not had a reoccurrence. However, she has a 12-year-old son, and a year ago, he had a mole on his ear that was removed, and they went back and removed a little section of the ear because it was, my understanding was it was pre-melanoma. My question is there an inherited factor, and what are the chances of her children getting melanoma?
Yes. And I'd like to elaborate. Your daughter in the 30s, and you said this was 12, so it was 20 years ago, and actually new findings now that they're removing less tissue today than they did 20, 25 years ago, which is on the plus side. She may have been able to save a portion of the toe, but I'm sure she's doing well with her other four toes. The second thing is now they took a biopsy of the pigmented lesion on the ear, and it probably came back a dysplastic nevi. And not to take any chances, it could be developed. The pathologist said to be on the safe side, take a little more skin. So it wasn't diagnosed as a melanoma. Otherwise, they would have taken a little bit more. They would have taken a lot more. And there's a great propensity for all her children, and that's why they should be checked carefully. And there's no danger, because if the, you know, when early detection is achieved, then they can all be successfully treated.
Interesting.
Okay. There is a propensity, because she does have her children checked, and they're very careful with sunscreen, and she watches them closely. But I wondered if there was an actual propensity. Yeah.
There is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How about your husband?
My husband died young, but his brothers have all had melanoma.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You put A plus B, and what do you have? You have something to be concerned about.
Yep.
Don't be alarmed. Don't be frightened. Don't ruin their lives. Let them lead a normal life. But check them every few months.
Yeah.
And actually, with both histories, your daughter should be checked every 6 months. Is she going every 6 months for a checkup?
She goes at least once a year. I think she was told now she can go once a year.
Nonsense. Send her back for 6 months.
6 months. All right.
Now, the president of the Skin Cancer Foundation said that.
Okay, I will inform her of that. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. And I would just remind, she might even want to take a look at the website, www.skincancer.org. And I have that up on my computer right now, and it's a lot of good information in there.
Great.
A lot of good information. Let's go to Chris in Spring Green. Chris, hello to you.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Robbins. I have a relative who just suffered a very bad sunburn on his arm while coming back on a trip with his arm out the window. It covered about a 6-inch area in diameter on his outside of his arm, they say about 5 inches below the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And now this happened about a month ago, and he's experiencing a symptom that I've never heard of before. He says these pains are very sharp. They're on the inside of in the flesh. He says it feels as if somebody's taking pliers and just pulling. It's painful, and it doesn't stop sometimes.
Hmm. Could that be related to the sunburn, or might there be other issues there, Dr.
A combination. Rob? Well, I've never heard of a severe sunburn causing that. But at the same time, I really don't know if he had a big blister, it ulcerated, it got infected.
Yes, it had burned so badly that the whole skin came off of that whole area.
So therefore, what's happening has peripheral nerve damage, and the peripheral nerve damage right now is causing the problem. So it's a question to see a neurologist or a neurosurgeon, not a dermatologist, to see how he can get relief.
All right. Good luck. Thank you, Chris, for calling. Appreciate it. Nick in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Nick.
Hi. It's good to talk to you. I got the blonde hair, blue eyes, so I'm really kind of touchy to the sun. And I spend probably about 90 to 95 hours every 2 weeks in the sun. And okay. I got this huge, mole in my back. I don't have insurance to have it checked, but what do I look for that? Because it's the size of my pinky or my little pinky finger.
Now, what do you have?
It's like a huge mole.
What is okay?
Well, how big is a huge ball? Size of a basketball or is the size of a dime?
It's about the size of a dime.
About the size of a dime.
Okay. Well, I would say that's pretty small.
Oh, okay.
Of course, I have seen big ones the size of a basketball. Okay.
Oh, no.
You know, here it's difficult. How long have you had it? Is it changed in size, increase? Is it changed in color and texture? Does it bleed? So it's really hard to make a diagnosis here.
Okay.
But since you're a young guy, take no chances. You know, go have it checked.
Okay.
And I'm sure you have insurance. And if
I don't have any insurance at all.
Are you a veteran?
Nope.
No, not a veteran? Okay, well, get yourself a part-time job and then take care of it. Or if you come to New York, I'll be glad to treat you.
Thanks, Nick. Good luck, and don't fool around with it. Absolutely.
Save
a little money, and on a visit to the doctor for something like that, yeah, it's going to cost some money, but you also have the thing of the alternative.
Or go to an emergency room because they can't refuse to treat you.
Thanks, Nick. Good luck. Jill in Racine, it's your turn. By the way, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Jill in Racine, your turn now. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Dr. Robbins and Larry.
Hi.
Hi.
I grew up in Texas, and when I would be in the bathroom, like doing my hair, or I would look back in the mirror with the mirror, and I noticed a spot, and there's a book at the library that I always go to. It has symptoms, yes, go this way, no, go this way. And so I went to a dermatologist, and she missed it. It looked like a cauliflower.
Hmm.
It was, it was at the surface of my skin. I mean, if you looked at my skin, you'd say, oh, that's a little cauliflower.
Now, when you say she missed it, she may have missed it because it was boring. It might have been just a seborrheic keratosis, which looked like a little cauliflower, or a wart, which is also boring. So when you say she probably felt it needed no treatment, did you point it out to her?
Yes, I did.
And what'd she say? It's boring.
I'll do a biopsy.
Did she do it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What did it come back?
Melanoma.
Oh. Really? I've never heard of a melanoma having a cauliflower-type appearance.
Wow.
That's unusual.
So were you? So you had treatment, I assume, and I'm taken off?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
now,
good.
You see, melanomas, and you said this was not of color, and there's a condition called amelanotic melanoma. Amelanotic means no melanin, no pigment. And if it's no pigment, it's hard to see. But fortunately, you were persistent and suggested that she biopsy it, which, again, I'm sure a melanoma was that. And they went back a second time, and how big of a border did they take?
Well, it was about the size of a nickel, and the scar is about 3 inches long.
Yeah,
that's about right.
Anyway, fortunately, you know, we physicians are not perfect, and because there has no color, and it's sometimes difficult. And you have a condition, like you said, it looks like a cauliflower, which is bizarre for melanoma.
Yeah. Thanks, Jill, for calling and sharing that.
But be checked every 6 months.
Check yourself. Have yourself checked every 6 months, Jill. Thank you. Carol in Onalaska, it's your turn. Hi, Carol.
Hello. I have vitiligo that's been apparent since I was, I guess, 2 or 3 years old. I suppose old enough to be in the sun to get the pigmented parts of my skin tanned. I'm wondering, this is on my left arm, down my left upper chest, and down my left lower upper back, shoulder blade area, where there's no pigmentation. Am I more susceptible to melanoma in those areas? I use sunscreen.
Okay.
And I'm in the sun, you know, a fair amount, but
I don't know. That's a good question. Our patients with vitiligo have a greater propensity or tendency to get melanoma. That's something that I'm not familiar with. If you write me a letter to the Skin Cancer Foundation, the address is on the website, I'll ask some of my colleagues and see if they have an answer for it. I thought you were going to ask me what is new in the treatment of vitiligo.
Well, tell me that.
Well, I've been in practice 41 years, and I started working on vitiligo, and here we are 40 years later, and we still don't have a good treatment for it.
Oh, that's what I was afraid you were going
to say. There are some lasers that say they can produce pigmentation, but I'm not impressed. Mm-hmm. But I would say there are half a dozen institutions that are working on it very vigorously to find something to help you. But write me a note and I'll answer it if I'll speak to some of my colleagues. But nonetheless, be judicious, be prudent, protect yourself from the sun, whether it's a greater incidence or not. Check yourself a couple times during the year, definitely at least once a year. And how old are you?
57.
Okay, I would see a physician once a year, dermatologist, for a body check, total body check.
Okay.
Just to check it from head to toe.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call very much. And Dr. Robbins, thank you. The time has flown by here. I really appreciate you taking the time.
I'm disappointed. I thought I could go for another hour. How do you like that?
Well, we probably could have because every one of our lines is still filled. Thank you so much. And I want to remind everybody to take a look at the website that you have, www.skincancer.org. It's a nice website, and really appreciate you being with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Dr. Perry Robbins, founder of the Skin Cancer Foundation, professor of dermatology, and chief of the Mohs Micrographic Surgery Unit at New York University Medical Center. Pleasure to have him with us to talk about skin cancer. Coming up on Friday, hey, Friday means garden talk, and guess who's coming by on Friday? Well, the Vicars of Vegetables. Professors Jim Nienhuis and Erwin Goldman are back to talk about the virtues of various vegetables. And I know it's going to be a good, fun time. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Public Radio says thank you to our sustaining members for their loyal support. Sustaining monthly gifts from Automatic Monthly Transfers provides reliable support for this and other Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Thank you.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Heartland Credit Union, dedicated to offering helpful business financing for small businesses across southern Wisconsin. Locations in Verona, Dodgeville, Lancaster, Platteville, and Madison, on the web at heartlandcu.org.